Spirit's guiding. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, you'll find that on page 925 in your pew Bible. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 6. Hear now, for this is God's holy and authoritative and inspired word. Acts 16, beginning verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Since the reading of God's word, and may he add his eternal blessing unto it, I'm going to encourage you to keep your Bibles open this morning as we study this text together. And let's pause for a moment and ask the Lord's blessings in a prayer of illumination. Let's pray. O Lord, your word is living and active. It is indeed God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. And so, Lord, we pray that you use these words in a mighty way. Lord, that they will not only penetrate our ears, but also our minds and our hearts. And Lord, that we will indeed see your grace in these words. Thank you for the book of Acts. Thank you for our time together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever made a decision for which you knew for certain that it was the right decision? That you absolutely knew this was the right decision to make? It may have been obviously a commitment to Christ. It could be coming here to this body. It could be a schooling decision, a spouse decision. There's many other possible decisions. How did you know that decision was right? That it was good? Acknowledgement by others? Maybe you received wise advice. Maybe it was simply a gut feeling. Or maybe the reason why you felt that decision was the right decision was something more spiritual. As Christians, we're confident that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God, that he guides and directs every part of our lives. That he guides not only the mundane little things, but to the big events of life. And Paul here in the book of Acts experiences that same guidance. Paul here demonstrates great confidence, knowing that the Holy Spirit guides his people, that the Holy Spirit is going to guide him and his fellow travelers. Now the book of Acts is all about the Holy Spirit working in the life of the church. How the church grows in the Great Commission to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And here in the book of Acts, here in the first century church, we see the Spirit moving. Now, there are times where the Spirit moves in a very extraordinary way compared to us today. But yet, even though we may look look at this passage, it may look like maybe a series of facts. And yet here in this text, we find that these are facts about how God works. Facts about God's providence. We find some very practical principles that are worth considering this morning. For Luke here, the author of the book of Acts, writes here that the Holy Spirit guides his church to which we must respond in obedience. And we see that here by Paul and by Timothy, by Luke. Silas, that the Holy Spirit guided them, and they responded in obedience. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is, if you're someone who likes to take notes, and I encourage people to do so, allow me to give you 3 points to consider this morning as we study this text together. That the Holy Spirit guides his church, first of all, in who he calls. Secondly, the Holy Spirit guides the church in where he directs. Where he directs. And thirdly, how he works. And those are the three points we're going to consider this morning. And I'll do my best to make those proper transitions from point to point. Again, if you're one who likes to take notes. And so let's look at this text together. First of all, the Holy Spirit guides his church in who he calls. Verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, who's the they there? Well, the they there is Paul and Timothy and Silas. How did they get to this point? How did they get to the point of going to Phrygia and Galatia? First of all, where are these places? Well, Phrygia is a place that was represented in Pentecost. Phrygia is typically a place in Asia Minor. Scholars suggest that they may have been populated with a number of Jews who taught the Old Testament to the Galatians. It was located in modern-day Turkey, for those of you who are geography nerds like I am. Located in Turkey. Now, how did they get here? This is the second missionary journey. Well, if you turn your Bibles back to Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, you're going to find how Paul and Silas, how Paul got to this point. Verse 13, or chapter 13, beginning of verse, looking at verses 1, we see Barnabas and Saul are sent off. There's a number of people who are set apart. Notice what it says in verse 2. While they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Saul, now known as Paul, has been called. He's been called, and for this purpose. The Holy Spirit had sovereignly chosen him to be sent out to go. Paul had been prepared for this task. It wasn't simply this out-of-the-blue thing. Paul had been educated in the Word. Paul was passionate about people. Paul was willing to suffer for the sake of Christ. Paul here is called out, and God still calls people. God still calls men to preach the Word and as in a ministerial form, in a ministerial position, but God calls all of us. Still to this day, to go, to be a witness, to testify of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's one reason why it's always good to continue to be educated in the Word. Why it's always good to have to care about people. It's always, even if it means to suffer for Christ's sake. And so how is God preparing us here at Fremont OPC? How is God preparing you for his service for him? You see, Paul was called. Paul was called to go forth, to reach out. And you here sitting here this day may very well be, there may be someone in your life that you may be the right person to speak to them, to him, to her. That you are in a relationship of some sort where you have the opportunity to share what Christ has done for you. And so God may very well be calling you for a purpose. And God will guide you. And then God will prepare you. And so look for those opportunities. Look for those opportunities. Look for that guiding of the Holy Spirit, that leading of the Holy Spirit. Because God very well could be calling you. So let's not sit around. And let's not just simply wait. But let's be students of his word. And let's look out and care for people. And let us remember what Christ has done for us. What Christ suffered on our behalf. As we go forth. As God calls each one of us to service for him. So we see, first of all, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides His church and who He calls. And that calling is extended to you and to me. Which leads us to our second point this morning, and that is this. The Holy Spirit not only guides in who He calls, but also where He directs. Where He directs. Look with me, going back to chapter 16, beginning at verse 6. And they went through the region in Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. But when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. It sounds like a Where's Waldo kind of listing of different cities. Paul and Silas and Timothy, they're on their missionary journey. They're planning on going west. Their plan is to go preach in important cities of trade in Asia. Their desire was to see the Word of God, and once it goes in those center areas, to spread out into all directions. But God, by the work of His Holy Spirit, at times tells them no. And here Paul and Silas and Timothy experience the answer of no. And we can pause and stop and simply ask the question, well, why? Why would God tell someone who had such a passion for people, who had such a desire to see the gospel spread, why would He, in such a strategic location, why would God tell Paul no? Well, this is where I will often refer to a stoplight. Because sometimes God's providence, sometimes our prayer life, we get a stoplight. And what I mean by that is this, is that sometimes we get a red light, and that sometimes that simply means no. To stop. And sometimes we get a green light, and that means to go. But here Paul gets the yellow light, the dreaded yellow light, which we here in Michigan often can think that that means step on it and go as fast as we possibly can through it. But we know that's not the case. When we took driver's training, the law says that yellow light means to slow down and wait. And you could say that Paul and Silas and Timothy received a yellow light. Slow down and wait. You're not going to that direction yet. There are times where God will lead us to the right opportunities by hindering us from the wrong ones. There are times in which God shows us open doors by closing others. And Paul and Silas had experienced these open doors at times. They have seen the church grow. They have seen the church grow geographically. They have seen the church grow numerically. And they have seen doors open on the second missionary journey as well. If you go back to chapter 15, Paul and Silas receive support from their home church. They see the established church being strengthened. They recruit Timothy. And now here in chapter 16, Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke experience a closed door. Now, how did they know this was closed? Well, the Holy Spirit communicates it to them in an unknown way. In verse 6, it's forbidden by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus in verse 7 tells them, did not allow them. That's usually those are synonymous with the Holy Spirit. It's another way of saying the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit communicates this in an unknown way. They've been forbidden to go. This is where they desired to go. This would make all the sense in the world to go this route to get the word to go forward. And God says, not yet. Not yet. You see, Bithynia will later on become a stronghold of the Christian church. Peter would write to the church here in 1 Peter 1. Later on, Paul would get to Asia. Later on, Paul would go there and would see the church grow there, but not yet. Paul, in his third missionary journey, would have the opportunity to minister in Ephesus. We find the book of Ephesians. Their desire was to move northward to Bithynia. They've been forbidden to go to Asia. They were going to go northward to Bithynia. The Holy Spirit prevents them as well. And so instead of going to Bithynia, they travel west. They're in the higher elevations of Mysia. They go down to Troas. It's a harbor city. It's located 10 miles south of the ancient city of Troy. It was considered the gateway of Asia Minor. And interestingly enough, this was the place where people often departed to Macedonia. God sometimes closes doors for us to see the open ones. Sometimes we find the right opportunities by having the Lord in His infinite wisdom hinder us from the wrong ones. Now we can stop and say, well, okay, so the Lord forbid him. And this is where we simply put our trust in God. For God knows the answers to the questions of who and what and when and where and why and how. And by human nature, we don't like closed doors. We don't like to be told no, where sometimes we act like, even as adults, we sometimes act like toddlers when we tell them no. We don't like the closed doors in our life, but sometimes they happen. We don't like to experience the frailty of life. We don't like to feel illness. We don't like the loss of job. We don't like family problems. We don't like discouragement. We don't like depression. Closed doors can take on many different varieties. And yet here is the good news, is we have a God who is wise beyond us, who has everything in His control, that He's able to all things for the good for those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. He's the one that opens closed doors. He's the one that opens blind eyes. He's the one who heals the sick. He's the one who seeks the lost. He's the one who makes the dead alive, and He uses them for His glory and our good. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, in those times in which we face the closed doors, we need to simply trust in the timing and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes the way that He directs is different than how we would direct. Allow me to give you a personal example. If you would have told me approximately 14 years ago, 14 and a half years ago, when I graduated from seminary, that I would be a pastor without a call, that I would be a pastor living in Michigan, not too far away from my hometown of Byron Center, and I would not be serving a church, having my own church to serve, and I would be a pastor without a call, and I'd be doing pulpit supply, and I'd be working in a plumbing supply company to make ends meet, I would have thought you were crazy. But yet that's how the Lord has directed me, has directed my life. And as we look to Him, we trust that in His that He will direct us to where He wants me to serve, where He wants my family to go. And in discussions in the OPC, we're looking at the possibility of getting involved in church planting, not too far away from here. It's an item I'd ask for prayer, because we're looking at the possibility of doing a church plant in Norton Shores, Muskegon area, a place that needs to hear the gospel. A place that there is a need there. But that's how the Lord directs. I've experienced the closed doors. So no one can say, well, you know, Pastor Chris, listen, you know, you don't know the hardships of life. I know them. But yet I continue to trust in the Lord. And I continue to look to Him, to how He directs. Because I know He will. He puts you just in the right place for just the right time, for just the right purpose. In your own life, as you seek to share the gospel, again, you may be placed, you might have just the right relationship. You might have just been, you might go, why do I keep bumping into this person? How come The Lord let this family move next door. Why am I assigned as a partner at the workplace with this man or this woman? Why am I on a basketball team with her or with him? There may be a purpose, and there may be direction. And that comes with much prayer. That comes with much trust in God. And yet we're called to be salt and light. We're called to be to go forth and to do everything according to the Word and to trust in the Lord's direction. So do you trust Him? Do you trust that He will direct you where He wants you to go, who He wants you to be with, that He will trust and direct you in the words to say? The Holy Spirit guides His church and who He calls and how He directs. Who He calls and where He directs. And finally, the Holy Spirit guides His church in how He works. Look at me, verses 9 and 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul recognizes that God is fully in control. And here we find the Holy Spirit giving Paul instructions on what to do next. Paul has a vision of a man who calls to him and says, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." As I said, Troas was kind of the launching place of where people would cross the Aegean Sea and go to Macedonia, located in modern-day Greece. Another part of the Roman Empire. There was no language barrier, so they also spoke Greek. But obviously in this vision, he recognizes this has come over to Macedonia. He recognized this was a man of Macedonia. We're not sure how he knew, but he knew that this was in his vision. He recognized that, and he hears those words, "Come over to Macedonia and help us. Come to our aid." This man in this vision, by the work of the Holy Spirit on behalf of his fellow countrymen, pleads for help. He says, "Come over. There are people in Macedonia who need to hear the gospel." And if you read the book of Acts, you will discover many very interesting people who need help and who get the help. Because once Paul goes to Macedonia, he meets Lydia and he meets the Philippian jailer. And he serves the church in Thessalonica, where the two letters to the Thessalonians were written to. The Bereans who studied the word. He goes to Athens. He goes to Corinth, a church that is, for lack of better terms, is messed up. There are people who needed help, and through this vision, Paul, by this call, recognizes that, you know what, that's where we need to go. And there are people in our world today who are still crying to help. They're not saying come over and help in Macedonia, but unless they live in some city named Macedonia, but they're saying come and help us. Come and help. There are people who need help emotionally, need help financially, need help physically, but there are people who need help spiritually, and they live here in Fremont too. Paul sees his vision. He sees this urging, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And notice what it says in verse 10. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia. Paul tells his companions that this is God's divine direction. There's a word there that says later on, it says, we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. That word concluding suggests that they deliberated and they analyzed and they acted upon it. I often will say that Paul didn't know it, but he was Presbyterian. In this case, he didn't form a very good Presbyterian, because normally Presbyterians would likely form a committee and talk about it and have a study committee for several months on where we need to go. But here Paul acts immediately. And he says, this is the Holy Spirit guiding us. This is the Holy Spirit commissioning us. Yes, he's told us no to this and to this area and to this area and to this area, but he's telling us yes to Macedonia, and so let's go. A doors that were closed, now a door is open. And isn't it true that God always has something better planned for us than what we would plan for ourselves? We can make all the plans in the world, but God's plan is always best. God's plan is always best, and sometimes it takes time for us to discover that. I often will say to people, I said, it would be great if I could just drive down the street and a billboard would tell me exactly what I need to do. And maybe you feel that way too. It's like, you know, sometimes it would be just nice to have that. What we find in these two, in verse 10, what we find very interesting about in verse 10 is we find that they carefully considered God's guidance and then they submitted to Him. They carefully considered God's guidance, they pondered on what God wants them to do, and then they acted upon it. They submitted to it. Alexander McLaren will say to this, delayed duty is present discomfort. Delayed duty is present discomfort. They sought God's leading. They sought God's guidance. They found it, and they obeyed. There are times where we think that what we think is God's leading is really our own lies. Sometimes it's easy for us to you go back to that stoplight, it's easy for us to run the red light. Or worse yet, it's easy for us to accelerate and fly through that and say, I don't want to wait, I want to go. But let us carefully consider God's providence and God's guidance and submit to Him, to obey Him. Maybe this morning, right now, you feel your conscience is being pricked. Maybe there is somebody that you have in mind. Maybe God is placing a person or a family in your mind and in your heart. You've been praying for them, and maybe you're the one that God is calling and directing. Talk to them. Can we trust that God will work? Paul didn't change lives. The Holy Spirit did. He trusted in the Word of God. He trusted that God's will be done. After all, if you read in Acts, there's time and time and time again, it says that the Word of God spread and grew and multiplied. We need to carefully consider God's guidance. We need to immediately submit to Him and to recognize that there are times where, if we do that, that God, in His infinite wisdom, even though we may have bumps in the road and potholes in the road, yet if we continue down that road, to know that we're following Him. Again, Alexander McLaren shares this quote. It says, traveling merchants must never be out of the road. And so no matter the hardships and the sorrows and the disappointments, we will all face them or are facing them right now. We must stay on the road. We must stay on that narrow road, trusting in Him, asking God to bless us, to guide us through His Spirit, to direct us, to trust in His work. After all, Paul and his companions will report in chapter 14, verse 27. They will report that they will report on all the things that God had done with them, and how He opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. These verses would be verses that maybe would be very easy for us to gloss over, to simply let's go past this and let's get to Lydia and let's get to the Philippian jailer and to Thessalonica and Athens and Corinth. And yet these words are rich for us today. Because after all, the Holy Spirit continues to guide His church today. It's not something that He's done with. He continues to call people. He continues to direct them. And He continues to work in their lives. One of my classmates from seminary shared this quote in one of his books. "We have the Spirit without the Word, we blow up. If we have the Word without the Spirit, we dry up. But only when we have the Spirit and the Word do we grow up." You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need God's Word and we need God's Spirit. Because it's through those two means that we will find God's guidance and God's direction. As we consider our own lives, as we consider sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, to reach them with the gospel and to teach them to be followers of Christ. And maybe this morning, maybe the first person that needs to seek God's guidance is you. Maybe it's time to resist that commitment, or to resist that unwillingness to commit, and to trust in Him, and to say, "Lord, may I be your servant. Make me your servant. May I put my trust in Him, in you, in your Son, Jesus Christ." Maybe this morning the Holy Spirit is guiding you to making that lifelong commitment of giving your life to Jesus Christ and being His servant and being the one who calls you and guides you and directs you. So let us be a people that is willing, regardless of the decisions, when it's the right decision, to put our trust in a God who guides and directs every part of our lives, from the mundane to the big. May He guide us. May we respond in obedience. May we trust in Him in all times, in all places, for all things. And let us say together, amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, it is so easy for us to go our own way, to instead of singing, "Lead me and guide me," to say, "Leave me alone." Oh Lord, may we commit ourselves once again to following You, to seeking Your guidance and direction. And Lord, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's life can be confusing, and life can challenge us. But Lord, may we continue to travel down that road, putting our trust in You. May Your Holy Spirit guide us and direct us, and may it work in our lives. May we sense Your grace. May we sense Your peace. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for not leaving us alone upon this earth after Christ ascended into heaven. Lord, your Spirit continues to work in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. And let us say together, Amen.